You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Journey. I'm your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Lori and...
Charlene.
Now, we are here to talk about one of... This has actually become one of my favorite type of shows that we do, and that's a character analysis. Now, you may be asking yourselves, well, we've done Janeway in the past, we've done Chakotay in the past, who could possibly be next? But none other than the Chief of Security, Second Officer, Tuvok, the man with no last name.
That is correct.
Tuvok.
Yeah, Tuvok. Now, when I can't do any, I can't even get like a grocery reward card without having a last name. So I want to know what the application process would be for a multi-cultured, multi-planet system like Starfleet. I mean, does he have to put, like, we know that Spock is Spock, son of Sarek. So would it just be like that? Like, how
maybe
how we got the name like Davidson, because I'm the son of David, you know, like, I don't know,
it's possible. Or maybe in the future they're more open-minded about these things, because Chakotay did not have a last name either.
No,
he's just
true.
Chakotay.
That's right,
that's true. It, like, so everybody's gonna be like a pop star, like Adele and Madonna and Cher.
Some people are just symbols, like Prince.
Dude, that would be freaking amazing, seeing that on an Elcar's menu. Like, go ahead and get this guy.
And it's just this little icon. This impronounceable name, of course.
Mm-hmm. Somebody accidentally names their kid the Omega symbol, and then Voyager just shuts down.
Oops. You know, maybe Samantha Wildman initially wanted to go with something like that, and then, you know, she's talking with Neelix about baby names. Janeway overhears it. She's like, You can't do that.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
It's dangerous. Like pressing the big red button. You just, no.
Well, Tuvok was in charge of pressing the big red button because he was the Chief of Security.
True.
And also the Tactical Officer, which is kind of one and the same. I guess it's become one and the same.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people like Tuvok. I haven't really heard too many negative things about Tuvok. I mean, I've never heard, I hate Tuvok, I can't stand him. It's either like, oh, I like Tuvok, or...
meh.
He's just all right.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Like, yeah, it's just kind of a meh. So, Lori, what was your first impression with Tuvok when you saw him in Caretaker in the first season and all that?
It's kind of sad to say, but I don't remember much about him. He didn't stand out in my mind very much. I just thought, well, okay, there's Tuvok, and yay, there you are. I don't really know what else to say.
Your first impression was there was no first impression.
There was not much there. Sorry.
So not even meh, like even further down on the radar then. Like he just a little blip on the radar.
Like, were you there? Oh, okay. Thanks.
Mm. He didn't have that much to do in the first season. I can recall two things. He played detective in Ex Post Facto.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tried to whip up the Maquis misfits in Learning Curve, tried to whip them into shape.
Now, he did have that episode, what was it, Prime Factors, where he got that alien technology when he felt like Janeway couldn't do it herself, so he did it for
right.
her, pissed her off so bad.
That wasn't yeah. first season, though, was it?
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. It was? Okay, so, mm-hmm. and first season was only, what, 16 episodes?
13, yeah. 16, 17, something like that. I do not remember.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So you guys have already rattled off like 3 or 4 episodes where he had a lot to do in
but,
a 16
yeah.
episode season, and where you have like 8 cast members.
Yeah, this is true. He did get some attention. I think maybe, though, for a lot of people, he just didn't make that much of an impression. Because we're fairly used to Vulcans at this point when Voyager had launched. It was cool to have a Vulcan on the bridge again, a la Spock. But it was kind of,
Well, Char, right. what was your first impression? Like, what was your gut reaction when you saw him?
You know, I really, really liked him, actually, in Caretaker. Because he's playing the spy. He's on the Maquis ship with Chakotay and B'Elanna. And I love the fact that the Vulcan was the spy. That was the logical thing to do. Okay, this is interesting. I like that. Also, what I really did like was this bond very early on that he and Janeway shared. I enjoyed that dialogue in Caretaker, where she's talking about, I don't seem to get to know any of them. I mean, she's really kind of pouring herself out to him, and he is her counsel, certainly in the earlier years, and I think later on she shifts that a little more to Chakotay, but certainly it was Tuvok to start with.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, they always talk about how, like, he was her counselor, he was the confidant and everything like that, and there were those times all throughout the series where she would go and she would need advice from him. But you're right, Chakotay kind of stole that role towards the later seasons.
Yeah, I think so.
He got pushed a little bit to the wayside.
Yeah, yeah. Chakotay kind of replaced him in that role in a way. And the more she trusted Chakotay, the less she relied on Tuvok.
Now, with Tuvok, I enjoy Tuvok episodes. I don't think there's a single Tuvok-centered episode that I skip or I kind of roll my eyes at. One doesn't come to mind. There might be one out there, but one isn't coming to mind right now. When I first saw him in Caretaker, I was excited because, you know, this is going to be this is going to be the first time we had a Vulcan on the bridge since TOS. That's insane if you think about it.
Long time.
Like, next gen, Deep Space Nine, nothing, you know? And
well, TNG had Dr. Salar for a little while.
But you know, a main cast member, so it was nice. And also, I love that he was black. I think that's absolutely fantastic because I don't remember ever seeing a black Vulcan before. And even Tim Russ himself said, he's like, you know, Vulcan's a really hot planet, there should be more black Vulcans.
this is true. And yeah, that was kind of cool, just for kind of the novelty of that, making that next step. Yeah.
Absolutely. I love that portion. And if you look at Tim Russ himself, if you go a little bit outside of the character, he has been kind of a frontiersman in keeping Star Trek going, like fan movies and fan series and things like that, and kind of like, you know, keeping the cause. And now I want to give a brief history of Tuvok. He was born in 2264, and judging by that date and the dates given through the show, that means he was 25 years old when he entered the Academy the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't really want to do it. He wasn't 18 like normal people are. He was 25 because he didn't really want to do it, but his parents wanted him to do it. He was aboard the Excelsior with Sulu.
Right, and they Captain had Sulu.
Yeah, when he was 29, and they had a 3-year mission in the Beta Quadrant. Then he left Starfleet when he was 32. He got married, had some kids, and
had some Ponfar
a couple of times.
Yeah.
And then he returned to Starfleet over 50 years later. That would mean he was 85 when he returned to Starfleet and resumed as an ensign and on the USS Wyoming. And then he was 16 years as an instructor at Starfleet Academy. And then he was 92 years old when he met Catherine Janeway.
Yeah, let's not forget that Tuvok is quite old, but not for a Vulcan.
Right. And see, that's the thing. You can, like, just take 50 years off from Starfleet as a Vulcan. He's like, no, that's totally normal.
No big deal.
That's right.
And he was 107 when he was on the Valjean with Chakotay and B'Elanna, and that would make him 112 when Janeway celebrated his birthday in Fury.
Whew. Nicely done, sir.
So I just want, I know I'm long-winded on that, but I had to get all that research out.
Good work. Yeah. Well, and as far as the dates go, yeah, I would say we know a lot more about Tuvok than we do just about anybody else, except for, as you mentioned before we started recording, Catherine Janeway.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mostly thanks to Mosaic.
Right.
What Jerry Taylor incorporated from that novel.
Which all of our listeners should read that
yes.
novel.
Yes, and the audio version, because Kate Mulgrew narrates it.
We cannot stress that enough. Yeah. Listen and or read this novel.
Maybe we could get a sponsorship going with Audible.com promoting this one book and Pathways. Let's do that.
And yeah.
Throw Pathways in there,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. I don't know. Hit us up, Audible.
All right. So with his early life, okay, as a young Vulcan and pointy-eared individual, he did not start off as the wooden Vulcan we know and love today.
No. Very emotional.
No, he certainly didn't.
Right. He was very emotional. Loved a Torellian girl, which
yeah.
is not to be confused with the Delta Quadrant species that we saw in Drive, who were also Torellians.
Right? So confusing.
Yeah.
Weird.
And so he had to study with a Vulcan master, and we saw all this in Gravity. And maybe we could link this together. Let's talk about instead of just talking about his early life, let's talk about his perceived romantic life in Gravity as well. Let's talk about the parallels there. I really liked Gravity. As we know, it's where Paris, the Doctor, and Tuvok get stuck in a planet that's in some sort of gravity well where time goes by much slower than it does on the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was like 3 months went by for them and only an hour went by for Voyager. Something crazy like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember.
Maybe even faster than that. It was
really?
Pretty insane.
Yeah, it was weird.
But in that... They all meet a woman named Nos, and there is a potential relationship between Tuvok and Nos. They have some sort of weird chemistry going on. And as we know, chemistry between Vulcans and non-Vulcans is played a lot in Star Trek, but also can be kind of weird. What did you guys think about that situation that Tuvok was thrown into?
Well, I think the episode as a whole was pretty awesome, actually. I really liked the concept of it. It kind of... get your mind going a little bit. But to tell you the truth, I don't remember a whole lot about Tuvok and this lady. They had a family, though, right? I mean, he kind of accepted this, right?
Well, he's married and mm-hmm. he has children. And Tom kept trying to get Tuvok to kind of say, like, listen, we're going to be stuck here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they thought mm-hmm. Voyager abandoned them long ago.
Right. Yeah.
And they're like, we're stuck here, so why don't you just live your life the way that you would if your wife was not here, because she's not. And like Nos is, you know, has emotions, she's flesh and blood, so just go after her.
Mm-hmm.
But Tuvok's like, no, I'm a married man, it's not gonna happen.
Yes, yeah, he's very loyal to his wife, to Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Not to Paul.
T'Pel.
T'Pel. Boy, Vulcan names, I swear. It's, you know, it's to whatever for Vulcans, K for the Klingons. I mean, geez, guys. Anyway.
Yeah, it's either T or S.
Right.
For
mm-hmm.
Vulcans.
Yeah.
Have we heard of a name other than a T or an S?
Valeris.
Okay, you're right. Thank you.
And Savick. Well, that's
it.
That's an S.
Yeah, that's
but
S.
It's not like an S apostrophe A-A-V-I-K. Savick. You know, I kind of felt in a way like that was sort of Tuvok's Inner Light episode, where he lives this life and then has to go back to his regular life aboard the starship. I will definitely say this for him, though. He is very loyal to the family he's got back on Vulcan, though. He's so resistant, but that's so Vulcan. It makes so much sense.
It does make a lot of sense.
But you see him struggling, too. You can tell. He
mm-hmm.
really, he would like to give in. Yeah, I see that.
Certainly.
That's not an episode I watch over and over again, to be honest. But, I mean, it's okay. But
it's good.
Yeah, it's okay.
But, yeah, I've only watched it maybe a handful of times. It's good, but it's not on the short rotation.
I guess I'm the only one.
Really? You really like this one, Tristan?
I like this one a lot. I mean, I really like Lori Petty, who's the actress in it. She was in one of my favorite movies growing up, A League of Their Own.
Yeah, that's
she was also
right.
Tank.
Oh, yeah.
She was also Tank Girl, which mm-hmm. a lot of comic book fans might know her from
yeah.
that.
Malcolm McDowell was in that too, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yes.
So Star Trek connections, reels within reels. I mean, the infinite
everywhere.
Possibilities and infinite diversity or something like that.
Yeah.
And we also know that Tuvok is like, yes, Tuvok is a very loyal person. He's loyal mm-hmm. to his wife. He's loyal to his family. He's loyal to Janeway.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
But he's so loyal to his wife that when he needs to achieve Ponfar, and yes, I know I use that word correctly. it was a hologram of his wife.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because right. It was the closest thing he could possibly get.
The dude could have made any kind of Vulcan pop star that we've never heard of in that holodeck, but he said, no, it's going to be my wife.
Yeah,
I
that was pretty sweet
that.
Of him, really. He mm-hmm. obviously yeah. loves her very much.
Mm-hmm. He's a romantic.
So he's married with kids, and he loves his kids. And obviously, because he doesn't love his kids. He appreciates his kids. Excuse me.
That's right. Don't
yeah. Let's get this
emotions.
Straight now.
My goodness.
Yes. Yes.
And he has. We only know the name of one son, though. His name is Sek, and his yeah. daughter's name is Asil. Oh wait, hey, there's a Vulcan name that doesn't start with V,
hey.
S, or T.
Hey,
there you go.
There you go.
So his Starfleet Academy days. He was kind of had to stick up his butt for a long time. He didn't like what Sulu was doing during the Rulapinthe missions or the Klingon Accords. He didn't like that at all. I think the first time he met Janeway, it was said that he dressed her down for not following regulations or something like that.
Mm-hmm. That like 40 different things or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Something like that.
You do not time travel, Janeway. You do not do it.
But let's Starfleet career is boring. Let's go straight into his relationship with Janeway. Let's figure that out. That was probably one of my favorite things on the ship was whenever Janeway would get out of hand, the most logical person who was devoid of emotion would sometimes infuse his own type of humor into the situation. I think there was one episode. Oh, what was it called? I think it was the one where they had experiments done on them or something like that.
Scientific Method?
Thank you, Scientific
oh,
Method.
Oh, I know the line you're talking about.
Yes,
Shall
yes.
I flog them as well?
Shall I flog them as well? It's just, it's so dry. Like, Vulcan humor is so dry. And this, I think he might even have more jokes than Spock if you compare it with the TV show and not the movies. But
you know, they did give Tuvok some really good straight lines.
He did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Tim Russ pulled them off very well.
What was it? What did he say in Elogium? Captain, I believe we've lost our sex appeal.
Right. Again, that with that good. Same dry delivery.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
No
yes.
inflection, nothing. Just
no
say
inflection.
It.
I believe we've lost our sex appeal.
There you go.
That's it.
And apparently, Tim Russ was a huge prankster on the set. Like, he was the one who would laugh the hardest, who would always tell a joke. And it's just so funny to hear the behind-the-scenes stuff where you have this such wooden and stoic character who never smiles and, you know, is always serious. And then as soon as they yell cut, he's the guy who's laughing loud.
Yeah.
the episode where they were all, it's called Waking Moments. Is that what it's called? With where they were all sleeping?
Yeah.
Everything like that. Mm-hmm. And they had nightmares. Well, when Tim Russ walked, Tuvok is supposed to walk out naked.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Tim Russ actually walked out naked as a joke.
Figures.
To the crew.
From what I've heard, that, yeah, it doesn't surprise me at
so
all.
So right when the turbolift doors open up, they're like, bam! Naked
birthday
Tuvok,
suit.
Everything. Yeah, birthday suit.
Yeah, well, and then, of course, then you have to cut to that image where the crew's laughing at him, you know?
One take. There you go.
Why were they laughing? You know, if
yeah,
I heard
I know, right?
Tim Russ, I'd be mildly insulted.
Mildly. So he was always injecting humor with Janeway, but in his dry, satirical kind of way. And we talked about it a little bit before, but what do you think Janeway's captaincy would have looked like if Tuvok wasn't there for 7 years?
She would have gone off the rails a whole lot more, I would think.
I think you're right.
I think she
Nobody
would have broken the Prime Directive a few more times.
You think?
Oh, definitely. Definitely,
Nobody
yes,
would
because,
have stopped her.
Well, yeah, Tuvok was kind of her conscience with things like that.
Mm-hmm. He was.
Yeah. Yeah, he balanced her out very well. Mm-hmm. It was very good. Although, you know, okay, just to shift gears for a short little tiny bit, Tuvok as the captain, though, is a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
We saw this in Resolutions, and he darn near had a mutiny on his hands, so he's really good as the second officer, maybe even first officer if Chakotay's out of commission, but as the captain, Vulcans just aren't good captains. We've talked about this on other Trek FM shows. It just doesn't work.
He did save the day in that episode. You're forgetting that part.
But only because the crew insisted they go after Dinara Pell for the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he practically had a mutiny on his hands, led by Harry Kim of all people. And if Harry can lead a mutiny against Tuvok, there is no hope for the guy. I'm sorry.
They're never going to make it back.
As we know from worst case scenario, though, Tuvok was ready for a mutiny.
He was.
This is true. Yeah. This is true. He was trying. I mean, he is a security chief. He was trying to be prepared for possible things to come.
That was a good Tuvok episode, in my opinion. I really liked that episode. Worst case scenario.
Oh,
that's
a good episode.
We get a lot of people dying. You know, we get to see a lot of people die. But they're not actually dying. We get to see Seska back in action. Mm-hmm. It's like a Tuvok and Paris buddy cop movie. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's a really good one. I need to go back and watch that one. I've not done that in a while.
See, we're listing all of these amazing Tuvok episodes, and you guys at the beginning of this podcast said, he didn't really have too much to do.
Now, I do want to interject. When you asked me, you said, what did you think of him in Caretaker? And honestly, in Caretaker, I don't know. He's just kind of there in the background. But then, like, three episodes later, I really liked him in Prime Factors. I really did. And, I mean, just the fact that he put himself out there when Janeway could not get that technology for them. And that scene, I think, at the end where she's telling him off and just saying, don't ever do that again. I know you did that for me, but don't ever do that again. That's like your first really gripping scene to me, and after the pilot with everybody, that's just my impression.
So did you agree with what Tuvok did in that episode then? Because Tim Russ had a big problem with that. He didn't think a Vulcan would go that far.
No, I didn't think he would have done that at all. I thought that was totally out of character for a Vulcan. I thought it would have made a whole lot more sense for B'Elanna to go get it rather than him.
Right, but then we wouldn't have had that awesome twist.
No, we wouldn't.
I felt like there should have been more motivation for him to do it.
Yeah, we needed some more exposition, some more explanation as to why he did it.
Yeah, he needed something much more important than simply the line of duty to make that happen, I think.
Yeah.
And then we would have, as an audience, thought, yeah, he's doing the right thing, even though we know he's going to get his butt whipped.
Right.
Yeah, but at least we could follow that train of thought. I just felt like, what's missing here?
Mm-hmm. Like they cut a scene out.
Who is really this guy?
Yeah,
I mean, this is not... I mean, for as linear of a Vulcan as Tuvok usually is, this was very not Vulcan of him.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, like we said, it was out of character, but I felt like it helped define his character afterwards because it never happened again.
This is true.
And it defined his relationship with Janeway. Now, he didn't, like, the Janeway-Tuvok relationship was one of the big relationships on the ship, but he also had a lot of interesting relationships with other people. One, most importantly, I'd say, like, right off the bat would be Kes.
Oh,
the mentorship that he had with Kes was very, very interesting because he was one of the few telepaths on the ship, and you have this extremely young being who has limitless, what we deem as limitless techno powers or whatever you want to say. and he can help, like he helps her develop them. And sometimes to his detriment where his face almost exploded.
Right. Yeah, where she brings the fire.
So what, Char, what did you think of the Tuvok Kes relationship, and how would you describe it?
Ooh, how would I describe it? Mentorship, I think, is the key word. And I really liked this. I think Kes did need some guidance, and I like the fact that Tuvok fit that bill. He is an older, wise Vulcan type person. I mean, he has a lot of life experience. There's a lot that she can learn from him, and the fact that he can help her harness these telekinetic powers, it makes a lot of sense. And I really liked it when they went with this.
Mm-hmm.
I really did.
Lori, how about you?
It really made a lot of sense for the two of them to come together and to really for her to work on those powers that she had. And that, I mean, I don't know, that relationship made a lot of sense. And I guess she sort of needed a father figure too at the time, because that was before she and the doctor became buddy buddy.
Yeah, that was, you know, I kind of felt like they kind of traded her relationship with Tuvok for the doctor. Mm-hmm. Somewhere between season 2 and season 3, something shifted and she was spending all of her time in sickbay. Yeah, I know that she's basically the nurse, but she didn't have to abandon Tuvok. And for all we know, she didn't, but when we don't see it on screen, out of sight, out of mind. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Lori, I like what you said, where she needed a father figure because, you know, she's only one or two and she doesn't have her father, you know?
Yeah.
And also, I mean, the guy was an instructor at the academy for 16 years and he has by far the most mental discipline out of anyone in the ship. And so he's just the absolute, forgive me, logical choice to have this relationship. And also, one thing that I really enjoyed, because in a lesser show, they would have done some sort of pseudo crappy sexual tension between the two of them.
Yeah, and no.
Gross.
And not once did they ever even hint to it, suggest it, or drop a hint or anything like that. And I would so appreciate that.
Yes, that would not have worked at all. And the more I think about that, the more I just want to vomit. I really like what they did instead, because what happens between Kes and Tuvok is a very mutual, respectful relationship. As it should have been.
Mm-hmm. As it should have been, exactly.
Right.
And speaking of vomit that's charged by inane sexual thoughts, Neelix and Kes is a relationship that kind of does that for people.
Pretty much.
Tuvok and Neelix themselves had a relationship, whether they wanted one or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're the odd couple of the show, and
they are.
I do like the whole thing of Neelix and Tuvok fitting that bill from the get-go, where Neelix gives Tuvok a big hug and caretaker. Yeah. You just know, okay, that's what the dynamic is going to be between these two, because you can clearly see that the Tuvok cannot stand this guy. He is the polar opposite of Tuvok. He's over exuberant, very emotional. He stinks.
At first, doesn't know what a
bath is.
Because he only had a good sand scrub before that.
That's the best he could do. Yes.
But I love that just right off the pad, he gives Neelix gives Tuvok this huge hug. And he says, "Good to meet you." And like ever since then, he says that. Yes, it's so perfect. And I love that they kept the Mr. Vulcan thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like,
"Did
I
you? Okay."
Some people have that.
Some people have a problem with that. They think it's
why?
Insulting.
Why is that insulting?
Well, does anybody else go around saying to Chakotay, "Well, hello, Mr. Human," or to Chell, "Hello, Mr. Bolian"?
No,
because like Neelix was a complete outsider up until that moment. The first guy he met on Voyager, and it's totally within his character. And now, does he do that for everyone? No, but it was a mistake. Like, oh, Vulcan, hey, Vulcan. You know, he's like, no, that's my species, not my name. And it just kind of stuck from there. I mean, it's like how nicknames get started all over the place. Now, if he did that for everyone, it wouldn't be as special, but he just did it for him. And
yeah, I'm not saying I was insulted by it. I'm just telling you that other people found it insulting that they kind of kept the joke. But
no,
it
other
does
people
show
are stupid. It's fine.
Kind of how much of an outsider Neelix really was.
Now, okay, this is going to sound kind of weird. I'm a big Family Guy fan. When Family Guy started, Brian and Stewie were very polar opposites and were just kind of had an antagonistic relationship. And now they're inseparable. They have buddy episodes all the time. And it just completely makes sense to have them have some kind of weird, twisted relationship where they're together. And I feel like I think we're on like the 13th season of Family Guy. If we got 13 seasons of Voyager, I think the Tuvok Neelix relationship would only get even more twisted and weird and, I don't know, unique. And I think it is one of my favorite relationships on the show, and I love that it culminated in the episode Tuvix.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, Tuvix. Yes, mm-hmm. This is a very important episode we need to mention. Mm-hmm.
We cannot talk about Tuvok without talking about Tuvix.
Mm. Indeed. Yes. What did you guys think about this little mashup?
I think they were better together than separated, to be honest, to me. But
oh, you like Tuvix more than you like Tuvok and Neelix by themselves.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
I did. I mean, honestly,
that's a lot of people's opinion, actually.
I know. I've heard that before. So, yeah. I mean, I did. The character that Tom Wright that played Tuvix, I really enjoyed him. That was, I don't know, he was kind of nice. He got along with everybody. He wasn't overly exuberant, but yet not a piece of wood. You know, I don't know.
But not a piece of wood. Well, I was talking about this with Matt Hansen, but I liked Tuvix, and I liked him as a character. I thought he was interesting,
mm-hmm.
and I thought it was cool, and a lot of people said, no, this is what should have happened for the rest of the show. Tuvix should have happened, and then Tuvok and Neelix, just, we never would have seen them again.
No.
And mm-hmm. I am complete disagreement. I like Tuvok, and I like Neelix, and I like Tuvix, but only for an episode maybe stretched to like a 3-episode arc. I could have maybe seen that, but Voyager didn't really do that.
No.
That was an Enterprise thing.
I don't know if I could have dealt with Tuvix for the whole rest of the series had they just kept that change. Say if, like, say Tim Russ wanted out of his contract or something. I don't know if I would have liked it too much. An arc would have been great. I could have dealt with it for a few episodes. But, you know, ultimately, as much as I do rip on Neelix, and as met as I can be about Tuvok, because I'll just say that he's not my favorite. I do not dislike him. But when I think of favorite characters and favorite character moments, he doesn't come up all that often. Maybe it's because I'm not a huge Vulcan fan. That might have something to do with it. But he's really neither here nor there for me. He's good for what he is, but he doesn't stand out. Anyway, ultimately, I would have wanted Tuvok and Neelix back.
I'm with you on that one. I love both those characters. They're not my favorite characters, but I love them both. They're kind of the same way that TOS is my least favorite series out of all the Star Treks. But it doesn't mean I dislike TOS. It's just my
least
favorite of all the ones I love. I love all of them. I love all the shows, but TOS is just my least favorite. Now with Tuvok and Neelix, I love them. I absolutely love their episodes. I love their moments, but they're just some of my least favorites. But just because I love other people even more.
Yeah, it doesn't mean they're bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I think I like Tuvok more than you guys, but
I think you do.
Yeah.
I think you do too.
And that's okay.
I like Tuvok and Neelix just fine. I liked Tuvix. I think I would agree with you as I've thought about it. I think maybe an arc would be nice. But yeah, I think I would have wanted them back. I would miss them if they were gone.
Oh, but so you wanted... I thought you said you didn't want them back. Like, you would have liked Tuvix for the rest.
Well, no. I think probably, like you, I would have gone, oh my God, I can't take this guy anymore after a while. No, I don't think I wanted him the whole rest of the time. But I did like them together. I think that was kind of cool to see that. But yeah, I think that would have gotten annoying after a while.
Okay.
No. But, oh, I don't think you like everybody better than we do.
Well, you know, okay, when we start talking about B'Elanna Torres, I'm a big B'Elanna fan. How do you feel about that, Tristan?
I had her cardboard stand-up for many years.
Oh, yeah, you're on an even keel with everybody.
Dang, you win again.
Hey, I had a cardboard stand-up of Kes, Seven, and B'Elanna, and I tried to get one for Janeway.
Just the ladies?
They were out of, like, I couldn't find any of the, at the avenues that I had at that time, those were the only ones at the store that I could get. Like, there was a magic shop in my hometown that had tons of really cool Halloween costumes and action figures, just a melange of everything nerdy and cool that you could think of. And they had certain Star Trek stand-ups, and they had, like, they had Bones, Kirk, and Spock. They had like Deanna Troi, and then they had the ladies from Voyager. And I was like, okay, these are mine now.
Awesome.
The Star Trek show I was most into in middle school was Voyager because that was going on at the time.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
So, like, I would have, like, but the thing is, if I purchased a Chakotay stand-up, my mom would have stolen it. So there would have been no point for me ordering it. No. I don't think I ever saw a Tuvok stand-up, but. But no, I'm a big B'Elanna fan on more levels than you guys probably.
So you're kind of on par with Greg Harbin here, where you really, really, really like B'Elanna, and you really, yes. really, really, really like Roxanne Dawson.
Yes, yes. See, okay. You guys really like the B'Elanna character. I really like the B'Elanna character. And I like other things about B'Elanna. So that's where we probably diverge.
Okay. Probably.
Probably.
Yeah, we'll have to leave it at that.
Enough about B'Elanna. Let's get back to Tuvok. Let's do some wrap-up for Tuvok, because we've talked a lot about him. I like him. You guys like him just a little less than some of your other characters. So I'd say, like, my impression is that I thought that there were times when Tim Russ could be a little too stoic. Now, I know Vulcans are supposed to be stoic, but I felt like he kind of had a... you know, stick up his butt a little bit too much, because with Spock, we got a little bit more flavor. Now, I know Spock is half human, but we've seen some other Vulcans that can give a little bit more personality without giving emotion. And I like Tuvok as a character, and I like Tim Russ as an actor, but I just felt there were certain moments that happened a little too often.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because there were times when I really just kind of got mad at Tuvok for having the stick so far up his butt. Just, dang you, you stupid Vulcan. Grr, why do you have to say that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I figured, okay, he's just being a Vulcan, doing his thing. It is what it is, you know? He's doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Pretty much that's how I felt about it, too. I mean, he was just being who he was. So just kind of go with the flow there.
Well, at least we know that he's staying true to his character, except for that one time early on, which we should give every character a pass in every Star Trek show during that first season.
This is true.
That's very true.
Yeah, there's big first season flubs on every show. So we forgive you for that one, but only that one.
Only that one.
Yeah, before we go, I want to give some very overdue shout outs to some UK iTunes reviewers. How about Chris Can't Fly for his 5-star review and Shervin Sabehi? They both wrote us awesome reviews in the UK iTunes store, and this was a while ago, and Shervin even let me know that we had some reviews in this UK store, and so I apologize. I did not check for a little while. To our friends internationally, if you do give us a review in a non-US iTunes store, please let us know, because I don't check them all that often, only when I think about it, which is unfortunately not that much. So if you do write us a review, we love to shout out to you and thank you. But if you're not in the US, please do us the favor of sending out a tweet to us or a message. Let us know that you praised us, and we will praise you back.
And everyone can contact us through trek.fm/contact, where you can select To the Journey from the drop-down menu and let us know what you think of the show. We'd rather you let us know what you think of the show in the review section of iTunes. But we love general conversation through any means necessary. Tune in next week, because next week we're going to try something new. We haven't done this before, but we're still a young show and we want to try new things constantly. Now, we are going to try what we call revamp an episode, where we take an episode that we don't necessarily dislike, but we don't, you know, love either. That episode is going to be Q squared next week. And we're going to talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, and what we would have done if we were the executive producers. Thank you for listening. This was our character analysis on Tuvok, and that was To the Journey.
To the Journey! To the Journey.